Hello and welcome to Rule of Carnage. This is a podcast, or perhaps a video, about designing better miniature games. Glenn and I are on a quest to have every possible conversation on this topic. Holy of Holies, a new topic sprung up to our attention this week. As we mentioned a couple of times in this channel, we've been playing a few new games after, I guess, just doing a ton of playtesting of various things we'd been writing. We wanted to clear the palette and play some fairly newly written stuff, see what's out there at the moment. And something that we played recently was The Doomed, which has a measureless movement system, which was brand spanking new to me. Fairly, basically, I just missed this possibility. Glenn has already read a few indie rule sets with measureless movement, so he's much more down with the kids and knew that this was a hip upcoming thing. So I've had my first try of it. I didn't think it worked super well in The Doomed, and we can talk about a little bit why. Glenn thinks he's seen a couple of better implementations, and I think partly what this will be is maybe just a bit of a sort of a review of some of the implementations that we've seen, our hypothesis about some of the problems, and then who knows, maybe we'll come up with a few of our own systems and solutions as part of this conversation. God damn it, you have to throw the tape measure away, Glenn. What are we doing?
Well, I mean, I think it is one of the things that comes up again and again, it is worth thinking about, is that tape measures are super off-putting for people who aren't already sort of inured to them and part of this hobby. And I think
this was a surprise to me because I've been waving a tape measure around since I was about 14. So they seem completely natural to me. But then I asked a few people in our Discord community and they were like, yeah, I hate tape measures. In fact, I will deliberately engineer them out of games if I find them because I hate them.
Oh no!
Or I'll make measurement sticks or something.
Yeah, no, there's like a little group of people on Board Game Geek that redesign miniatures games to be grid-based games, and then make entire grid-based like 6-foot by 4-foot tables just to avoid picking up a tape measure. It is one of those sort of breakpoints that normal people don't like using tape measures, not to put too fine a point on it.
And also actually just to put another thing in here, like one of the reasons that my wife doesn't really, she's not attracted to miniature games in general or non-discrete miniature games, is that the idea of measuring seems so imprecise with that implement that she's like, well, how do you know that the other person isn't just horribly cheating? This doesn't seem like there's any possible way of it being fair. And of course you and I know that it's even at the highest levels, a sort of collaborative agreement to ignore the micrometer.
Yeah, and it's interesting how like just widgets and measuring sticks, you know, which are basically just the same thing. A tape measure is just a sort of like large measuring stick. It jumps so far towards like avoiding all of the problems with it because of the way that you can just hold the measuring stick and it has a very definitive, like, he can't move much further than that, and then
and you don't have to hover above and rely on bogus perspective and all that kind of stuff. But so, anyway, so this is why tape measures might be bad.
Yeah, so one of the things that is popping up, and like I said, like Mike said, I've seen a few times in some indie rule sets, and I do understand that it's not a totally unique thing in like fully released rule sets, but it's still weird enough to sort of have comment, is measureless movement. And so generally what measureless movement is you pick a direction and you go in a straight line in that direction until some form of state change occurs, whatever that state change is within the particular system, and then you stop. So you literally never pick up a tape measure, and it's meant to be sort of much more about positioning and direction. And I've seen it implemented quite a few times in, I think, interesting ways, exciting ways, and really smart ways. And without sort of, you know, wanting to be unkind, we also saw it implemented in The Doomed in a way that is. The thing is, I think measureless movement is an exciting thing I'd like to see more of. And my worry is that in The Doomed, it's not implemented as brilliantly as it could be for a few reasons we'll talk through. And that might sort of put other people off of going there, which I think would be a shame. So one of the things I think about measureless movement that's quite important mechanically is that state change element that ends a given sort of movement run. and where you end up in relation to it. So you can run up to the state change and stop just in front of it, or you can run up to the state change and stop an inch past it. So the state change could be an obstacle.
When you say an inch past it, you mean like inside it. So I'm totally outside of the previous state. I'm now totally inside the new state, but I haven't gone into that area anymore.
It could be that if the state change is like from outside of a forest to inside of a forest, it could be it being inside the forest. If it's up to a wall or a barrier, it could be up to it and then stopping, or it could be literally just the other side of the barrier. And I think that little step over into the next state is a very important thing for measureless movement systems, where they ask you to definitively end at a state change. It's less sort of vital for where it's just like, well, okay, you just stop in the middle of nowhere sometimes because you're changing direction. But letting the movement go just into the thing that stops the previous movement, I think, is surprisingly important for freeing up the way that the system actually works and the way it operates. And that's
the other thing, so we should talk about that some more. I guess the other thing that I want to make sure we put a pin in is straight line movement as well, because straight line movement is fairly unusual in measured games because there's a couple of really obvious problems with it. I was playing Adeptus Titanicus yesterday, which has a sort of straight line movement because it's got a restricted turning system like a naval game. So those are kind of the places where straight line movement happens, or charge moves in skirmish games. But like skirmish games tend to let you wiggle around and go wherever you want, and not allowing you to wiggle around and go wherever you want ends up with a slightly odd chess-like feeling to the movement. And so I think in addressing a measureless movement system where you have to find some way of limiting the movement, I think it's also interesting to consider that, like, do I move in a straight line? Can I move anywhere I like? Where can I move anywhere I like?
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that's super interesting about measureless movement, is because it's often sold as this sort of like very free way of moving. How far can I move? Infinity distance. You can move all of the way in the whole world. And then a lot of sort of measureless movement systems, therefore, have to talk a bit about what your terrain is like. Because obviously, if you can move infinity distance and you're playing a completely empty tabletop versus one where you're playing with like walls and barriers and forests and things every 4 inches, you have a vastly different sort of play experience. And one of the issues with this is that the freedom sort of suggested by measureless movement, when you've got a bunch of small barriers in the way, suddenly becomes not a very freeing experience and becomes a crushingly frustrating one, where it's like, okay, I want to go around the corner of this thing and then the corner of that thing. Well, if I could measure, I would just go, it's like 3 inches, it's not a problem. But I can't, because I'm on measureless movement, so I can only go in a straight line. So I'm going to go 1 inch, next turn, 1 inch, next turn, 1 inch, next turn, 1 inch.
And it's it shares the same problem that any straight line movement has with doors become incredibly difficult to navigate.
Yeah, and there are ways around it. So it's like, I mean, Puke Apocalypse, my game, has straight line movement, and where it gets around this is by saying that anything within like 2 inches of a door is passable through. You just have to test through passing to pass through it. So actually any door is like 5 inches wider than it would be normally, because you're sort of like, you know, sort of banging into the door jam as you run through the door. You can widen sort of gaps out, which I think is kind of necessary if you're going
right. In this case, and so the Doom says you can cross anything that's like up to knee high for the model. So that's the other way of doing it. It's like sort of eliminate, like you've eliminated chunks of the width of the terrain. You can also eliminate certain levels of obstacles.
Yeah, but the thing with the Doomed is that any of those knee-high obstacles is a state change, I think, for the movement in the Doomed. And the other thing about the Doomed, and this is a thing that, you know, I think is a very questionable mechanical decision, is it asks you to test in order to move after the first move of an activation. And I think any system anywhere that asks you to test just in order to move, I think that's a decision that's well worth like reconsidering. Because like move.
Yeah, I mean we've talked about that in the sort of uncertainty of ordering and command systems and stuff. Games like Ganesha Games series of stuff. Yeah, or something like This Is Not a Test, which have like I don't know how many activations I'm going to get until I test them. Like I think there's an interplay there where there's a certainty of movement because it's got a measured system and I definitely can move a certain way. Whereas I guess it could just be I'm unfamiliar with measureless movement, but like because there's such an elastic variation between how far you can travel depending on the distance to the next state change. It can be the case that you just move like half a millimeter, then you need to do a state change. And so having an uncertain activation system combined with the measureless movement system, I don't know, didn't feel, never good mouthfeel from my perspective.
Yeah. And another way I've seen sort of dealt with this issue is to give you like a little measured sort of step at the start in which you're basically phasing through anything. And then you're off,
right?
You know, so it is ironic that with the measureless movement, a lot of the ways that this issue is fixed is by saying at some point measure something that's around about 1 to 3 inches. So often it'll be like you get to your state change and then you get an inch into the state change. Well, that's a measured distance, you know. Or at the start of your movement, you've got 3 inches where you're a ghost and you can just get somewhere. And then we're off to the races, just to stop you from having these little sort of like, oh God, it's going to take me like forever to get around the corner of that house, to just be able to go, yeah, fair enough. Let's just walk through the corner of that house to a place where we can then do something interesting and do something interesting with it.
So what one of the things that the Doom does, which I'm not sure we played with enough, is the area that's covered by the miniature's base. Before you make any move, you can reposition the miniature such that any part of the base is touching any amount of that area. So you can sort of sidestep about 28 millimeters to sort of get around a thing before you move in a straight line.
Yeah. And it is tough when you sort of, like you say, when you have as a design goal not to ever make anybody measure anything, rather than as a design goal to make the movement phase as like, fluid and you know sort of enjoyable as you possibly can, you know. I would say that the second thing should be your design goal rather than no measuring is for some reason like completely offensive to me. And I think it's quite reasonable to say like, okay, you know, like short distances that we can like widget, they can be okay. It is where you're like pulling out an 18 inch sort of tape measure or a 24 inch one or things of that nature.
So so you described a sort of system, whether it was a specific one that you'd read or I've kind of created a slightly hypothetical one based off it. But like I'm imagining a board that's sort of divided into terrain areas where like one is a sort of mostly ruined cathedral, the other is the grass outside of it, then there's a cornfield, you know, then there's a forest. And so I can move anywhere within the ruined church, and then I can step outside into the grass, and then I can move anywhere within the grass and step inside the cornfield, and I can move anywhere inside the cornfield. So in that regard, like whether there's lots of pews densely packed together, which makes moving in a straight line irritating, doesn't matter because I can just teleport to any spot within that area of terrain and position myself however I like, and then take, you know, like one base width step outside into the next terrain. And that feels really nice. And I think has a interesting, I'm not sure if it's positive or negative, but it has an interesting impact on the modeling of your board because, you know, area terrain is certainly not, you know, it's certainly a very common thing, but it tends to be like everything is open by default apart from a number of small areas of area terrain, you know, ruins that provide cover, you know, swamps that provide movement penalties. But this suggests that, well, your board has to be a checkerboard of area terrain, because anywhere that's like anywhere that's a contiguous area of open ground becomes like a warp tunnel across your board. In the way that fields in Carcassonne are.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, that was a sort of a game that I've seen. I've mentioned, unfortunately, I can't currently bring to mind its name, but I will try and hunt it down and give it a shout out and a link in the comments if I can find it on my Google Drive. And that was a game where essentially you've got like open table, and then you've got like zones of terrain, which could be pretty much anything, but I think in the background they were mostly forests. And it was a game primarily about controlling the forest. The forests were where the sort of the magical doobie-doo is going on, and so you kind of want to have control of the forest, and you can basically move around like infinitely outside the forests, but because they're inherently small terrain pieces, you state change into them, and yeah, you can move around freely within them, but they're only going to be like that much smaller. And so once you're in the forest, you're almost certainly entering into attack zones and like zones of control of another person, because they're going to be in there also trying to control that forest. And so it's much more about, okay, outside of the blobs of importance, you're just absolutely piling over to the one that you haven't got control of and piling your dudes in there and kicking people's heads in. But inside of it, we go into this little thing of like, where you're engaged with somebody else's stabbing range. And so it doesn't matter that you can move measurelessly within this sort of 10 or 12 inch blob of forest, because there's four guys in there with 2 inch stabbing ranges. And that's going to be the thing that's going to completely redefine your movement abilities and your measureless movement. And I found that a really interesting way of sort of going, you know, we're sort of zoning out the ways in which movement is interesting and engagement is interesting and distances are interesting, and that distances outside of the terrain and the forests are interesting in a completely different way to the way in which they're interesting inside of the forest. It's like you might get engaged outside the forest, but it's pointless and incredibly rare. And again, I've seen another one of the other things I think that can be interesting with measureless movement is reaction abilities. So another sort of game that I think is much more at the idea stage is one that's about sort of you know, monster hunters and such, like sort of running around sort of hunting down massive like creatures and things. And if someone like sees you running for a target, they can then like intercept you, and you have these sort of massively long sort of interception charges as you've got like superhero type guys like smashing into each other across the tabletop. And I think like the idea of having reactive abilities, almost like something in Infinity, where like you've got these infinite range reaction abilities with guns, and then saying, well, they're going to be about charges instead. This is like your guys can run at super speed, and if you see somebody going through open ground in front of you, you're just going to go and pile.
Right, yeah, because that's an interesting point, actually, is that measureless shooting was a much earlier innovation. Like, it was a much more obvious thing where, like, the fact that bolt guns in Warhammer 40,000 are 24 inches is weird, and so it's very natural to say, well, you know what, a firearm can probably cover the length of any skirmish table, so we'll just say that all ranges are infinite. But taking that to the next level, I think is something that hasn't been so obvious. So I guess on that zoning thing, like, I'm super interested about the fact that, you know, it creates a table where you almost want no contiguous things, and maybe it's simple enough to write like no two areas of open ground larger than 12 inches square can be touching, which also makes me think like, that sounds like a dungeon. So I wonder if like measureless movement just works supernaturally in a dungeon environment. But I think that then in my mind makes me think of some of the challenges that I haven't really had a chance to sort of roll around and digest here, which is like, how to reintroduce some of the tactical elements that distances, restrictions, auras, all these things. Because as I was trying, you know, as a thought experiment to write a measureless movement system, like the measureless movement was one challenge, fine. But then I was like, but now I can't have any auras or short range weapons or like command bubbles. It's like, it really... the removal of tape measures takes away a lot of other tactical tools that I am used to relying on. And so now I have to innovate sort of replacements for those as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is interesting, like a few of the systems that I've looked at for this sort of go, okay, tape measures we want to kind of throw away, but templates might be okay. So like a 5-inch circle template that I put over the head of the dude, and now I can see his like aura range or his command range or things like that. They feel less sort of problematic than the tape measures. You know, it's the whole thing of like, you know, okay, I'm
right. Which is at which point, like, why not use them for movement as well?
Well, yeah, and to a degree, and I've had a lot of these. Not to be funny, I've had a lot of these conversations over the last year or so of going like, okay, well, if we've got this 5-inch sort of aura template, and equally there are people who are going, okay, well, I've got a 5-inch aura template. The guy can move anywhere within that 5-inch aura template. Isn't that interesting? Well, no, that's a 5-inch tape measure. You've just got a 5. What's the difference? What are we doing here? And I think this is why it's an interesting sort of area to sort of delve into. Tracking back to what you were saying about like dungeons and measureless movement, I think it's interesting because it's like as a kid playing Hero Quest, when there are no monsters on the board, I stopped rolling the movement dice.
Of course.
Who cares about rolling the movement dice? And then where are monsters on the board?
My 4-year-old plays like that. Yeah, it's absolutely natural.
Yeah, and then once there are monsters around, you understand why the movement dice...
Yeah, you like shift into tactical space.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's why it's one of the reasons that like measureless movement can be interesting. It's where it's like, okay, here is the bit where movement kind of, you know, can be ballparked. It doesn't...
Right, and this is, you know, you've mentioned this with Saga. It's like Saga has infinite movement up until a proximity with the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it is interesting that this does seem to be a thing that's in the zeitgeist, because it's like you said before, you know, earlier with shooting, it's like we've created game scales for shooting that bear no possible resemblance to any kind of gun within any kind of scale that we're playing at, because it seems that sort of game scale makes games much more interesting. And we come to a point of thinking, well, they're a necessity to make games interesting. And then Infinity steps in and goes, but maybe not. You know, and everyone's like, oh yeah, actually Infinity is very interesting and it's doing it in a very interesting way. Maybe we didn't need these sort of gun measurements at all. And some people are like, yeah, but I can do fun things with them. I can do other cool stuff. And now it's like opening up the design space to go, okay, let's think about the ranges. What do I get from having gun ranges? What do I lose? And vice versa.
Yeah, and I always found, you know, to hark onto my perennial favorite, like I always found the design decision in Malifaux to be super good, which was like 14 inches in an incredibly long range sniper rifle, because the designers of Malifaux knew that shooting is tedious, and with a small three foot board, like covering an entire board with a shooting range introduces a bunch of design challenges. Now Infinity went, yeah, isn't it fun, like let's make that into the thing.
And this is the thing that's so important about all these things, and I think that we could come back to again and again and again, is that Infinity went, yes, there are problems here, yes, there are issues here, and we're going elbow deep into like figuring them out and making them part of the game and making them interesting again. And that's, I think, why Infinity is such a successful and such a sort of attractive game, because they've gone, yeah, we're throwing out a lot of the standard tropes, and now we're really thinking about what we're doing afterwards. And I think it's one of the things that's interesting about measureless movement, because it's doing some of those things that Infinity did, I think, like creatively. Creatively, I don't know why that was such a problem.
Be very creative with that word.
Yeah, creatively and in sort of game design terms, but like in a sort of new area in a new field. And to open that design space up and go, look, you can have measured movement or you cannot have measured movement, and they do different things and they have different problems. Let's engage with them. Let's say, okay, well, why are you doing measured movement, or why aren't you? Or you know, and to me, one of the things that's quite interesting about it is that we removed like squad movement with 360 degree line of sight came in quite early. And for me, one of the interesting things about movement is not having a 360 degree line of sight. And we sort of threw out one of the things that makes movement like interesting and crunchy quite casually, just like, of course my dude can turn his neck, don't be dumb, let's just get on with it. And we've had a lot of games with movement phases that are kind of like meh things because of it, I would say. And the sort of the fact that some measureless movement is kind of pushing that to an extreme to go like, all right, look, we threw out the line of sight that maybe wasn't the greatest sort of game design decision. How otherwise can we make sort of movement phases re-interesting by going, right, let's throw out all of the limitations on movement and go, all right, well, what does that turn the sort of zones of control in the tabletop into? You know, what about it becomes interesting? Because I've thrown away the movement distances, I kind of, in a way, reintroduced line of sight because I've turned line of sight into line of movement, you know, because before where it was like, oh, well, you can't move like through all, you know, through a wall because you can't see what's on the other
side.
Right,
yeah, no, actually, that's super interesting. That would be another way of doing it, would be to say you can move anywhere you like within this area as long as you've got at least partial obstruction from an enemy model. Like, you can't move out into the open or moving out into the open. I mean, probably really tricky to do in practice because you have to keep checking everything and stuff, but, like, changing state as it relates to the perspective of another model, that would be another way of attacking it.
Yeah.
I think One other thing I want to say, and that's partly because I've got bits of string all over my desk, is when you turn this challenge from how do I design a measureless movement system to how do I make it more interesting to move my miniatures without having to pick up and fiddle around with a tape measure, then I think other solutions present themselves. And so I was imagining, like, a 6-inch piece of string, like, how can I, like, dangle that over terrain or use it to, you know, as a sort of universal movement stick, but it's flexible. And I'm sure there are 36 other ways of approaching this, where it's like, I'm starting from the situation that tape measures are inaccurate and irritating. I would like something more freeing. But I think what we've been saying is that we'd also want something that has enough interesting constraints that there's actually decision-making to be made in that movement phase, rather than it just being like a free teleport to wherever you want.
Yeah, and I can say, I think it's why it's an interesting area of design, because it, you know, there are independent designers working on it and going, okay, well, what is actually the thing that's interesting about movement? If it's not like just having a limitation to how far you can go, and like essentially that movement is simply a resource that you have to spend to get to the place that you care about. If it's something else, and it's something about zoning and positioning and relational like places and where is interesting on the tabletop and where isn't, what does that mean and how can we play with that and how we can maintain the interest in movement phase? I think it's interesting and it's exciting, you know, and I really hope to see more sort of designers playing with it and sort of, you know, widening the design space out, because, you know, if there are more games that are the movement equivalent to Infinity, I think that would be an exciting, you know, time to be looking at the miniatures movement games. And I do think that, like, you know, I love a tape measure, but, you know, if it gets a bit sort of moved away, I think there'll be certain barriers of entry that are exploded for some people. And it's inherently, it's a sexy thing to go, like, with a miniature. It's like, okay, well, how far can I move? Anywhere you can draw a line to, you can go to. Crack on with that. I think
the other major issue that we have, there are so many issues. I think there's a lot more conversation to have. Like, we'll probably round this conversation off shortly, but, like, one thing that I will say is the other thing that I encountered as soon as I tried to implement one of these in it, as an example for myself, is, like, comparative movement distances. Like, how do two units that fundamentally should be different speeds get different speeds? And there are solutions, I'm sure, but, like, it's much more challenging immediately to have, rather than, like, well, this guy moves 10 inches and this guy stumbles 4 inches. Like, how do you have slow zombies? How do you have fast bats? Like,
and like I say, there are things about it, like how you do your state changes and how many, like, line switches you get. You know, if you can move once in a straight line and somebody else can move once and then move again, you know, obviously that's
right. How what's the number of state changes you get, or what counts as a state change for you?
Exactly, there are ways.
Yeah, like
Yeah, and it's the thing is, it's like, it's a whole new set of design challenges and a whole genuinely new set of things to think about, which I think is what's cool and exciting about it.
And I think it's an aesthetic option that just will not necessarily suit everything. So, like, I'm, you know, I played some Adeptus Titanicus yesterday and a playtest game of a mech game that I'm working on. Like, do I want measureless movement in a mech game? Maybe, but it feels more aesthetically difficult to get that to work than like a cinematic kung fu game where obviously I want measureless movement.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. I think there's a lot about like the feel in the world you're creating. Yes, obviously, if I'm doing
this is a hammer, and I don't think everything's a nail.
Yeah. If I'm doing like Kung Fu Hustle, I 100% want people to like have measureless movement and punch people a mile into the sky and whatever. If I'm doing a massed battle like Warhammer Fantasy Battle kind of thing, I absolutely don't, because I want like units to feel as they're chattering across the tabletop.
So again, like, how do you put inertia? How do you put a feeling of inertia into a measureless movement system? I bet there's a way, but
yeah, but not every rule.
So many questions.
Not every rule and mechanic works for every game, and that's been true for every other mechanic that there's ever been.
That is true.
I need to have a conversation. There's a very interesting
string-based
movement system that somebody was trying to make work in the Discord to do with nodes on a piece of string, and it's like I think he sort of gave up on it, but it's genuinely quite interesting what he was trying to do. But that's a conversation for another.
Yeah, we'll follow up with our string-based movement video. Hashtag the new zeitgeist.
for now, if you sin one or another like measureless movement system, and there's been a few of them knocking about in the Discord, and there's a bit
educate
of,
me there's Fill a bit me of, in.
There's been a few sort of in the zeitgeist. I know that there is like more than one that's been published. They're currently sort of out my mind, but drop into the comment section, talk about some measureless movement. I think personally it's an idea that might be like have come of time, and we're maybe going to see a bit more of it popping up. I would like it to be. If you come across a measureless movement system you're excited about and you want to evangelize about, please drop into the comment section and run over to the Discord and have a chat about it there. There's people chewing on this problem right as we speak. When you're in the comment section, do give us a like and subscribe. It's lovely and makes me and the channel happy. But for now, I think from this conversation it's gonna be a thank you and goodbye. So thank you and bye-bye.
Goodbye.